Would you turn with me to Psalm 100? Boy, wasn't that a breath of fresh air? Amen. Thank you to all of our praise team. That was just a part of our praise team, but thank you, Patricia and Jordan. Thank you, Elizabeth Underwood and Zachary Jett and Kinsley Hancock and Grant Ladd for their reading of Scripture this morning. Amen. Thank you to our young men and young ladies. Ah, what a blessing. As you find Psalm 100, I want to ask you to tune in this manner. When's the last time you went to a football game or a basketball game or a baseball game or any kind of game like that, and you were excited about the game, but when you got there, you never left your seat, you never cheered, and you didn't watch the game? Do you know that's how some people come to church? They say they're all excited about the Lord, but when they get here, they never get out of their seat emotionally. They don't cheer for the Lord. They don't get into the game. And then when they leave, it's kind of like, well, I'm glad that's over. Listen, you know, I just wonder, don't we miss something when we come to worship, but we don't prepare our hearts the way God wants us to? I'm going to share with you this morning from Psalm 100, a message from the 100th Psalm. I've entitled it, Shout to the Lord. I love that song, Shout to the Lord. It's one of my favorites. But I just want you to know that Psalms 93 through 100 are a series of psalms that glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, in the Old Testament, it talks about the King, our Jehovah, the King of Kings, and that's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He comes and He sets things up, we know then every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Are we going to wait till then? You know, when Jesus was told by some of the Pharisees when He came into Jerusalem, He said, control your people. They're shouting out to you. And He said, listen, if they don't call out to me, the very rocks will cry out. You're going to let a rock do your job? I know some of you kind of feel like a rock sometimes. Some of you are acting like a rock right now. I'm going to ask you, will you plug in this morning? I pray that better than any ball game you've ever watched, that any other activity you've ever been a part of, will you tune in and will you give the Lord His due praise? As I shared with you, Psalms 93 through 100 is a special series of songs that glorify Jesus as God and King. In Psalm 93, the Lord, we're told, reigneth, and He's clothed in majesty. In 94, He's the Lord to whom vengeance belongs. In other words, He is the one who's going to make things right. In 95, that Psalms tells us to sing to Him because He is our rock of salvation. 96 says, sing to Him, and don't be afraid to sing a new song about the Lord. 97 says, rejoice, for our Lord reigns. He is the fire that will consume His enemies. 98 says to sing a new song because He has done marvelous things. 99 says, let the people tremble, for the Lord our God is holy, He is great, and He will reign forever. Amen. And now we come to the grand finale, the doxology of this series, the hallelujah chorus of the Psalm series here to Psalm 100. And I'm going to ask, would you stand with me again? I wasn't going to read it again, but I'm going to. I can't help but do that. Psalm 100. It says here, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And all God's people said, Lord, we thank you for your word. It blesses our heart. Now let our response, Heavenly Father, bless yours. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Verse 1 says, all ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. You know, God doesn't want us to come to worship with a long face. Now, what does that mean? All sad and all unhappy. This world gives us enough reason to have a long face. Amen. There's plenty of things in this world when problems beset us, when temptations overcome us, when we have sinned, we certainly have a long face. And when we come to the Lord in repentance and we're asking him for forgiveness, we understand that sometimes we come with a sad heart. So when we ask for forgiveness and seek his restoration back to joy, I realize that there are times that our hearts aren't glad. That's our own fault. But certainly, even though those are good times to seek him, in other words, to cast ourselves upon him, we need to do something different at other times. Let me ask you, when a child comes to you and that child says to you, Mom, Dad, I need to borrow the car. Mom, Dad, I need some money. Mom, Dad, I want this. Mom, Dad, I want that. Mom, Dad, I have a need. Listen, we realize that there are times that that's needed, but that is not their adoration of you. Amen? Folks, when our children come to us with that type of thing, it's all about them, not about us. Listen, when we come to God in that manner, it's all about us. God, I need. God, I want. God, I pray for. God, please give me. Please help me with. That's all about us and not about him. Amen? That's not worship. That's requesting. It's all about us. And folks, there are certainly times that that's needed. We do need that. And God cares about our needs. Amen? I said God cares about our needs. Amen? Amen. He does care. And yet, dear friends, that's not worship. Those times are all about you and me, not him. Indeed, we can and should worship God in the difficult times, even in our sadness. But our Heavenly Father also wants us to worship him in gladness. It says so right here. You see, you are worshiping God in gladness when you come to praise him. Psalms chapter 122 verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It says, I was what when they said unto me? Glad. Were you glad this morning when you got up and said, whoa, we get to go to church? Or was it one of these? Well, I guess it's Sunday. I guess I'll go to church. Eeyore. Just like every other parent in this world, God, our Father, is always glad when you seek his presence. Amen? But I believe that he desires to see our smiling face because you want to be with him, not because you have to be with him. Isn't there a major difference? God loves you, and God loves to have you approach him with real joy. Tell a child, you can just spend some time with your father. Okay. Shout for joy. Shout for joy to the Lord, all ye lands. You know, the NIV says all the earth. Now, what does that mean? That includes everybody, right? Everyone's involved. The happy, the sad, the mad, the glad, everyone. This is a call for universal praise. For everyone on earth, who's excluded? Nobody. Everyone is to bring praise to God. And part of our worship, dear friends, needs to include making a joyful noise to the Lord. That's why we sing. Now listen, some people have a little more melodious voice than others. And I realize that God gave some special gifts of singing, some of playing instruments, some of taking care of the, making sure those things all go together with sound and equipment and drums and different things. Listen, not all of us have the ability to sing on key. Aren't you glad that God's word does not say, sing on key to the Lord? Come on, anybody else? I am so thankful that he says, make a joyful what? Noise. Listen, some of you when you sing, guess what? But let it be joyful, not mournful. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Shout for joy, all ye lands. Listen, if you can't sing, shout with happiness to God. Part of our worship needs to be joyful. There is a time coming, dear friends, when the entire world is going to be able to sing, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Amen? You know, those Christmas songs are coming, I think, starting next week. I wonder, will you be ready to sing when the Lord comes? We need to be ready to sing now. Because you see, God's word says that you are called to praise him. God's word says that you are called to worship him. God's word says that you are called to glorify him. You know, every time I read this psalm, I feel like I need to do better at having more praise included in our service. Sometimes I just feel like, you know, we just need to have a time where we shout to the Lord, where we give praise to the Father. We ought to praise God more. Amen? Do you think there's too much praise? Worship God more. We are called to come to him joyfully, joyfully in his presence. Then I want you to look what it says there in verse 2. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I've told you about this before. I used to have a shirt. I don't know what I did with it, but when they get old, Brenda tends to use them for dust rags, so I imagine it's in the dustbin somewhere. But it was a shirt, and it said, real men sing real loud. I love it. I used to wear it all the time. Real men sing real loud. It didn't say real men sing on key real loud. It said real men sing real loud. This says here, serve the Lord with what? Can I tell you, it doesn't take a great theologian to figure this out. Amen? Can you figure this out? Just as God does not want your begrudged worship, nor does he want your begrudged, unhappy, grumpy service. Amen? I can just imagine the people in this world that look at some of our faces as we're serving God and go, oh, I can't wait to be a part of that. Friends, we serve him with gladness. Have you ever had a child that was grumpy all the time? Did you still love them? But were you happy to be around them? Listen, have you ever had an employee who grumbled all the time? Boy, they brought the whole office down, right? Listen, have you ever noticed that nobody likes to be around those kind of people? They like to be around those that are happy. Even as a parent, you still love them. But you kind of go, you know what? Why don't you just take that to your room? Amen? You know, my dad told me one time when I was unhappy, if he told me once, he told me a number of times. He said, son, I want you to go to your room. And he said, when you decide to be happy, you can come out. Because he did tell me, son, you need to get over this and just be happy about it. And listen, it was a command from my father. And I'm going to tell you, although the inside didn't feel very happy, the outside started getting better. Our Lord and our God says, come before his presence with thanksgiving, joy, and praise. Do you serve God with a glad heart? Do you give to God with a joyful heart? Did you know that 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 tells us that God loves a cheerful giver? What kind of giver? A cheerful giver. He said he loves a cheerful giver. Why is that so important? Have you ever been given something from someone so reluctantly that you felt like it was a task you had to endure instead of a gift being given? Reluctance steals the joy from both the giver and the receiver. God wants you to be a giver with a joyful heart. You've heard the phrase, and we've even sung the song before, "Oh, they'll know we are Christians by our love." You know what I think? I think they're going to know you're a Christian by your face. Sometimes we need to remind our face that we're happy. We need to smile. I think they will. Joy shows on our face. The spirit of a home makes all the difference. Amen? The spirit of a church makes all the difference. The spirit of a workplace makes all the difference. You see, your attitude is like a magnet. It just depends on which end you're going to point at people, right? You know that when you put magnets together, they either attract, and if you turn around the other way, guess what happens? What? It repulses. Listen, you're a magnet, and you can turn to God and you can attract, or you can turn into yourself and you can push people away. Which is it going to be? You decide. And that's the thing. You have to make the decision. You have to decide to be glad. That's a wonderful thing. You get to choose the side of you to use. God is so good. God is so good. He has given us all spiritual blessings. And I believe that this psalm is calling us to remember what he's done for us. Amen? And then after we remember what he's done for us, we should then in turn serve him with what? Gladness. God is worth that. Amen? He is worth that. Now look at verse 3. The Lord is God. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know, a sad fact is that a large population of this world don't know that Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, is God. They've heard about him. They believe that he existed somewhere in time. But they don't know that he was God. John, who we've been reading his letters and going through his letters for most of this year, told us time and again that Jesus is deity, that Jesus is God, that he is God's son. We know this. Do you believe that? Will you obediently act like he is your God? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior, our Redeemer, is God. And the Scripture tells us that he has created all things. Do you remember in John chapter 1? He said in verse 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word." And when he talks about the Word, we know that he's talking about Jesus Christ because Jesus is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So what was made without Jesus? Nothing. Everything that has been made was made through Jesus Christ. He is not just God's Son. He is not just our Redeemer. He is not just our Savior. He is God. The Scriptures tell us that. God himself told us that. We are to worship him. We owe Christ our worship because he has made us. He made everything. And he's not just our creator, but he's also given us the opportunity of being his people. How many of you have peeps? Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, huh? Come on, get with it. You need to be a little more modern than that. How many of you have peeps? You got people. You got family? How many of you have friends? How many of you have family? How many of you have somebody out there that you can call on? Listen, that's your peeps, okay? If you've got people, it's something special when you can say, I have people. I have a family. Listen, we're not like family. What? You've got peeps right here, okay? Grace Point Fellowship peeps are yours. You need to understand this, that God is not only our creator. He has given us the opportunity of being one of his people, one of his children. He said that we are his people and the what? Sheep of his pasture. Now, how do you become a sheep of God? How do you get to be one of his among the pasture? Folks, you must be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. You become a sheep by being covered by the Lamb's blood. And isn't it interesting that Jesus, the Lamb of God, tells us that not only is he the Lamb of God, not only are we his sheep, but he is our shepherd. He's the good shepherd. We heard in song, the 23rd Psalm, he is the good shepherd. Listen to John chapter 10, verses 14 through 16. Jesus said, he's not just the shepherd, but he's what? The good shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I the Father know. Even so, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now, I know y'all call me pastor. You call me shepherd. But the appropriate term for me is under-shepherd. Because you see, there is one great and good shepherd, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Folks, Jesus is not only our creator. He is the good shepherd. He is the rescuer. And if you belong to Jesus, if you have invited him to your heart, if you have confessed him as Lord and Savior, then he is your shepherd too. Are you a sheep of his pasture? Verse 4 then tells us, as a sheep of his pasture, how to come to church. Look at verse 4. It tells you how to come to church. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. How do we come to church? With thanksgiving and with praise. This is the way that God wants you to come into his presence. Good job, praise team. Amen. You did a good job bringing us in this morning. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and with praise. Have you ever been to a dead church? Dead church, dead church, dead church. Have you ever been to a dead church? So, yeah, I'm sitting in one right now. I hope not. We've all been in services where the place was just dead, if you will. Do you know what the problem was? The problem it's not the people on the stage. Because you are to bring the praise with you. If there was a lack of praise in the church, who's to blame? Listen, you want to fire up a preacher, get excited. You want to fire up a praise team, sing loud. Folks, you are to bring the praise with you when you come. The problem is that the people were not coming with praise in their hearts. Without a praise on their tongues. They did not come to church with thanksgiving in their hearts. They did not enter his courts or his gates with praise or with thanksgiving. And friends, not only are you supposed to come into church with praise and thanksgiving, you're supposed to go out that way. Look what he said right there. He said, be thankful to him and bless his name. You bless his name with singing and you bless his name as you go. As you go, you are to bless the name of the Lord. There's a little sign by our exit gate when you go out. And it says what? Anybody know what that sign says? You are entering into the mission field. Folks, as you enter into the mission field, you are to bless the name of the Lord your God. Listen, everybody loves to hear about something good. Amen? Everybody. Tell them about the goodness of the Lord your God. Tell them about what Christ Jesus has done for you. When you come to church, make sure you do it with thanksgiving in your heart, with praise on your lips. And then I've got to remind you that if you fail to do that, you're not helping yourself, and you're sure not helping the church. You know, if nobody else will sing, inspire somebody else. You know what? I've had people say, literally, even recently, have y'all noticed sometimes during the singing, now, not recently with the bad knee, but have you noticed I kind of wander along the back? Anybody along the back row ever notice that? You know what I do when I wander along the back? Anybody know? I sing loud. I sing right loud. And I know some of y'all are going, who's that? I sing loud. I'm not singing for you. I'm singing to the Lord. But I also hope that it'll encourage you to sing louder too. Back row, step up. Not now, I mean, but step up when it's time. Amen. Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. We're told here, enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Enter his courts with song. Praise the Lord with your singing. Why should we do that? Because God is good. He is worth our praise. And all God's people said, amen. Look at verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Let me tell you something. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, I know that God is good to you. You know how I know? He has told me so. Now, your eyes may be spiritually blinded so that you can't see it. But I'm going to tell you, there is no doubt God is good. He has given you the sacrifice of his son. He has given you the promise of eternal life. And he has given you the strength to live each and every day here on this earth until he brings you home to himself. God is good to you. I know you may go through hardship, but we all go through hardship. And God says that that hardship should bring us closer to him, not further away. You want to hear some of the best news in the entire world? You want to hear some good news, anybody? I'm glad, because I was going to give it to you anyway. God's mercy is everlasting. God's mercy does not run out. Now, I know some of you might have thought that, you know, God has given me so much mercy. God said, man, God has given so much mercy to Brother Gary, he probably didn't have anything left for me. But it's just not true. He does not run out. His mercy is everlasting. God has a lot of mercy left for you, for your needs, for your family. God loves you so much that his mercy is never ending. And folks, you can take it to the bank, because the scripture tells us that his truth will last forever to all generations. What a wonderful promise. Amen. His mercy will last forever. What a wonderful psalm. What a wonderful promise. Folks, because of who he is, because of what he has done, it is wonderful to claim this promise. It's wonderful to praise God. It is wonderful to praise the good and the wonderful and the merciful God of heaven. God loves you with an everlasting love. Dear friends, according to his word, we are reminded that not only is God good, but it is your job to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. all ye earth. Serve him with gladness. Pray with me. Father, we are thankful for your word. Amen. God, we love you and we thank you so much for your precious son. God, you are good. Lord, would you use our praise to glorify you? God, we realize that there are times that we come to you in need. God, sinful and confessing and contrite and with sad hearts. But Lord, remind us that that shouldn't be the only times we come to you. For Father, in your goodness of mercy, in your kindness, in your forgiveness, in your love, Father, we should be giving you praise. Help us, Lord, not to mistake our asking for worship. But Father, help us to bring such a wonderful gift of praise to you that it glorifies your name among the nations. Thank you for who you are and what you've done. And all God's people said, amen.